Welcome to Simple Living Works, episode 39. I'm Jerry Iverson. It's my pleasure to be your host with my guest, author, speaker, blogger, and champion of simple living, Susan Vogt. This is the second of two parts with Susan, in which we focus on alternative Lenten practices. We at Simple Living Works believe that simple living really does work. Voluntary simplicity, choosing to live simpler lives, is a faithful, satisfying, effective, comprehensive lifestyle. It is not a list of rules, nor living on the cheap. It avoids fads, convenience, and deprivation. It is not a hobby. We believe in abundance, that there's enough for everyone's needs, not anyone's greed. We follow the saying, live simply that others may simply live, as our closing theme song proclaims. Contemporary faith-based simple living is guided by the five life standards of living more with less, the classic by Doris Jansen Longacre, and I've discussed those standards in earlier episodes. The mission of Simple Living Works is equipping people of faith to challenge consumerism, to live justly, and to celebrate responsibly. We extend the mission and resources of the nonprofit organization Alternatives, which served from 1973 to 2011. The three parts of our mission are elaborated in text and video. Links are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. We produce a half-hour podcast twice a month, hopefully educational and inspiring for you, your family, and your congregation or group. I'm glad you're with me today from Paso Robles, California. I had an extended introduction to Susan in the last episode, so please listen to that.
I noticed, Susan, that you blog, and that a number of your blogs are based on sections of your books, which I think is a very effective way to recycle.
Oh, well, that's a good idea. Thank you. The blogging, of course, these ideas come from other people. I don't invent them all myself. We had a house guest who stayed with us for actually several years, who, when I was writing the book, he said, well, why don't you blog on this? People can get the ideas in small snatches, and it can be a developmental thing, and he said, you should even take pictures of what you're giving away. And so I learned how to blog. I learned how to do a website. I learned how to do a lot of the social media that I would not have come to by myself. And what I do on the blog is I started out because of my intention or idea of, well, it came up as a question first. We were about to start the season of Lent, and I was trying to think of what could I do that would be meaningful, that wouldn't just be the ordinary things that I had done in the past for Lent. I had pretty much gotten into the routine of, well, I would give up candy and sweets and desserts, and I would try to pray more. And one year I had decided to try not to complain at all during Lent, and that was harder than I thought. But so I tried to continue that. But I thought, I've done those things before. What can I do that will be a new challenge, something to move me a little deeper into this journey of Jesus during Lent that leads to self-sacrifice? And it occurred to me that I could give away one thing a day. So I did that during Lent, and as it turned out, as I went through our house, I easily found more than one thing a day to give away. So I started doing it in categories, and I started with my closet in my bedroom, because that's where I happened to be when I had the idea, and I was looking at my shoes, and I thought to myself, well, you know, I'm not a compulsive buyer of shoes. I don't have many of them. I think I'll see what I have, because I had read something from Souls, I think the website is called souls for souls with the number four in the middle. And they said that the average American, North American, has 15 pairs of shoes that they own. And I thought, I can easily get below that. And I counted up all my shoes, and I added things that maybe weren't added in the research, because I used slippers and my boots and just any kind of things I put on my feet other than socks. And I found out I had way more than, well, I think I had 20-some pairs of shoes. So I got down to 50, or 15, and then I went on to other parts of my closet, like dresses and scarves and skirts and pants and tops. And each day I would find several things in that category to give away. And at the end of Lent, I realized that I had barely scratched the surface, that I really was not missing anything that I had given away. And so I decided to do it for the rest of the year. And so I gave away at least one thing a day for a whole year. And then after that, I thought, I had been getting into the habit of doing this, and it became something that was second nature to me, I think, because I had done it for a fair length of time. And I started noticing things that weren't things that I probably had to let go of. And that was the deeper learning for me, that it was nice to declutter my house, to get rid of some of the things that I had stored in boxes, but it was more meaningful to me to have to learn to let go of my way of doing things, my opinions, my wanting to be right about things, to let go of some, I wouldn't say that I hate people, but there were some people who I was not very fond of, and I wanted to let go of animosity towards people. And I got into a lot of other things that were intangibles, like my time. How do I let go of my time and not be so self-centered about wanting time to do my things and to spend myself and my time in the service of others? And I think I've always done some of that, but it was a call to stretch myself further in that area and then to deal with memorabilia and artifacts that we had collected from different trips that Jim and I had taken, mementos. Which of those things were really important to keep, and which of these memorabilia could I let go of? And that whole process was a way to assess and help me reevaluate what is most important in my life. And I had to deal with questions like, my importance or my value is not dependent on what I own, like the clothes or the physical things I had. And it's not even dependent on my looks. Like I'm always trying to find the perfect haircut, and I'm still in search of that. But I think of, will people love me more or think I'm a better person if I am physically attractive? And I thought, you know, there are a lot of beautiful people out there who may not look beautiful in the eyes of a fashion magazine. And finally, I had to let go of an intangible of how much I can accomplish, because I'm a very task-oriented person, and I found that I had to face the issue of my importance is not dependent on how much I can accomplish during a day, whether I finish this project or whether I am well regarded by society, or, you know, get honors in different things, that's going really deep for me and was a much bigger challenge to let go of my pride. And that's one thing I say to people who are maybe hardcore simplifiers. You know, some people have been at this simple lifestyle stuff for a really long time and have gone to great extremes much more than I do to live a simple life. And they say, well, what more can I do? And one thing that I have offered through my experience is the next challenge is to let go of smugness, to let go of self-righteousness, because we who care about things like simple lifestyle can get into a pride about it and can get into a self-righteousness of judging other people as not doing enough or being less and or us being better. And that's a lesson of Lent that I came to humbly and not easily.
Yes, I understand and appreciate what you're saying, Susan. On one hand, a person wants to be a role model, but at what point does being a role model become smug?
Yes.
So I appreciate what you're saying. I'd also like to mention that Susan has contributed 10 links to our collection for Lent and Easter called Who's Risen from the Dead Anyway? And so I hope that through our website at simplelivingworks.org, you'll read some of Susan's Lenten contributions. Well, I'd like to talk a little bit, Susan, before we're finished, about your workshops and your speaking engagements. Are most of those in the Covington, Cincinnati area? Do you speak mostly regionally?
Well, I speak wherever they want me. Obviously, the greater Cincinnati area is closest, and I do speak here often. But I speak nationally across the United States and have also spoken internationally in places like, Africa, Kenya, Mali, India, Korea, Japan, the places that we visited often because our children have spent time there or because I have international contacts there. And so people have asked either myself or Jim and I together to do workshops in various countries. And it's been a learning experience for us, a broadening experience for us. So I'm happy to speak wherever people feel they want some ideas or inspiration or some experiences that I can offer.
Wonderful. Anything else you'd like to add for our listeners?
There's probably more than I could say in just a few words. And one thing I've been trying to work at myself lately, this is part of my Marianist heritage, is what we call silence of words, which doesn't mean not speaking at all, but not speaking unnecessarily. And I have probably violated some of that even as long as I have been talking with you. But I think I have said enough for now, and certainly I have written enough that people can read a lot of my ideas in my blog on the links that you mention or on my website.
Well, I want to commend you because in your picture on your website, you have a lovely haircut.
Well, thank you. How nice of you to notice.
Do you have something in mind for the near or distant future? Is there another book from Susan Vogt or some other series, maybe some videos, maybe a podcast?
Well, you have inspired me. I might go in that direction. It usually takes me about 5 years to recover from writing each of my books, and so I don't think I'm going to do anything immediately in that regard. But I can tell you what I'm considering for this next Lent coming up, because I am open to advice on it. I have two ideas, and the one is that I've heard about people deciding for a period of time, it might be Lent, it might be some other arbitrary period of time, to not spend any money, to not buy anything. And I thought I would like to try that as a personal challenge and to see what it would teach me. Now, of course, you have to buy food and there's transportation if one has to get to work. But I'd have to come up with some rules about what I would allow myself to buy. But it would be not buying anything beyond the essentials of survival. But the other thing I've been thinking about, and this might be even harder, is to try to unclutter my files, my papers, and my digital world, to try to go through the file cabinets we have and either digitize the things that need to be saved or throw out those things that I've been saving that aren't needed, because we have 7 file cabinets in our house and we don't need all of that information. And I'd like to declutter my email backlog and things like that. And I'm thinking that would be a real challenge. I wonder what I'd learn about where I've been historically that's been documentized by papers and what I really need for the future. So those are two possibilities I'm thinking of for this next 6 weeks. And I do these things partly out of curiosity, but partly because it always teaches me something. I learn something about myself. I learn something about the world, and I think I become a better person. I can add, for those who don't know, in past Lents, in addition to the first Lent where I gave things away, the next Lent I decided to eat on a food stamp budget to experience, to be in solidarity with those who don't have a choice, and to try to pay attention to the food I do eat and what it means to life. And then the next Lent, I decided to it was the trash Lent, the trashy Lent. I was trying to create as little garbage as possible and to recycle as many things as possible. And then the next Lent after that, I did a drawer a day. So I went through one drawer in our house every day and tried to examine whether there were things there that I no longer needed. So those are things that each one has taken me in a different direction and been something that has taught me about myself and about life and about how I can let go of more things.
Excellent. Excellent. I'd like to share with you our experience about that, Susan, before we say goodbye. We gave ourselves 10 years to retire. That is, we spent 10 years before Rita retired reducing our possessions by 10% per year. Now, if you do the math on that, you end up with 30% of what you started with. And that allowed us to move very lightly from Iowa to our very modest retirement home in California. The biggest challenge was finding a home for things that were still useful.
Yes.
And also, we were very conscientious about getting a tax deduction for everything we gave away. some people say, well, the money is not important. Well, when you live in a country that's at war, it's important to keep as much money away from the government as possible. That's our philosophy. Mm-hmm. And so we would give things that still had life. For example, as a church musician, I had a large library of organ music and a large library of choral music, and those went to my daughter and my son's alma maters to go in their music libraries. Mm-hmm. But it takes time to find a home for things that still have a life and use in them. That was one experience I found.
Oh, I second that, definitely. That's probably the hardest part of the giving away, is finding the appropriate place to give things. And sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I just, you know, would give to Goodwill or St. Vincent de Paul, and that's fine. You know, those are good things, but I felt much better when I could find a home that fit.
Yes. Well, we gave many good things to Catholic Charities and to Goodwill, too. Yes, indeed, those were very good places to give. Well, this has been a wonderful experience, and I wish you well in your ministry, and I look forward to keeping in touch with you. Thank you so much, Susan.
You're very welcome.
Peace be with you. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
You've been listening to part two of my guest interview with Susan Vogt. You're welcome to share your thoughts on these subjects. Email a message to feedback@simplelivingworks.org or simplelivingworks@yahoo.com or on our Facebook page or on our Simple Living Works blog. All those addresses are given in the show notes at our website, simplelivingworks.org, window number 3. In response to my helpful birthday ideas, which I post on people's birthdays on Facebook, I heard from Iowa State Senator Rob Hoag, the author of America's Climate Century. He says, "Thanks, Jerry. Simple living is good every day. Keep up the good work." If you'd like to hear my interview with Senator Hoag, the link is in the show notes. My guest for the past two episodes was Duane Elgin, and in response to those interviews, friend Colin Richard said, "I read Voluntary Simplicity about 15 years ago, and Elgin's ideas were very formative for me, as they have continued to be. Cheers on sharing his work with us." In episode 40, I interview another champion of simple living, blogger and event organizer Joel Zaslavsky, known most recently for the Simple Rev conference in Minneapolis. Well, time to wrap up episode 39 of Simple Living Works. If you haven't subscribed yet, we hope you will now through iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. We'd love to get to know you as a subscriber to this podcast and to the blogs we post new each week. Subscriptions are free and they keep you current automatically when we post something new. Remember to like us on Facebook. And you can also subscribe to my other podcast, The Common Good Podcast, at iTunes. Please urge your friends to do the same. We do not solicit or accept cash donations, nor do we sell anything. All our resources and services are free of charge. We're an all-volunteer organization. Send us your email address to receive the free monthly Simple Living Works e-news. And thanks to the band Earth Mama and to John Pitney for the music on our show. Find details in the show notes. Click About. This podcast is covered by the Creative Commons Non-Commercial Attribution Share Alike license. To learn more about Creative Commons, click on its link on our website homepage. And if you're hearing some rain in the background, thank heavens it's raining here in drought-ridden Central Coast, California. Praise the Lord. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson for Simple Living Works Podcast, wishing you well as we strive to challenge consumerism, live justly, and celebrate responsibly.